Thanks, Liz. So we've been practicing listening, and then we had a story. So the story is mostly about someone who's called Simon, who we know as Peter. So this is the disciple Peter and Jesus. But does anyone remember where it happened? So we've got a picture. It happened there. This is a real place. I've been there, and I took that photo. Where were they? Yeah? By a lake? Any particular name you'd like to give a lake? Actually, in Liz's version, when she was reading it, it had a strange name, but we know it's by a slightly more well-known name. Which lake was it by? Yes. Lake Galilee. Excellent. They were there by Lake Galilee. And do you know what? Just for today, we have a chance of a first century video. We have video footage of the man Peter himself telling us about this story. Let's have a look.
Let me tell you about the other day by the Sea of Galilee. We finished a hard shift of fishing that night. We hadn't caught a thing. We were feeling tired and fed up. Well, me and the other men were washing our nets. Even if you haven't caught anything, it's very important to have a good clean and tidy, ready for the next day. Or you can get in a right tangle. There was this crowd appearing on the beach, which was odd. Lots of people kept coming, and they all seemed to be there to hear this bloke Jesus speak. In fact, there were so many, he was being forced closer and closer in our direction. And then he stepped into my boat. We were there just cleaning our nets, and Jesus stepped into my boat and asked me to put out a little bit from shore. Well, Jesus had earlier healed my mother-in-law from a fever, so I thought, may as well do him a favour. Plus, there is something a bit different about Jesus. Anyway, I took Jesus a little way from shore in my boat, and there he sat, teaching the people about the kingdom of God. He said some amazing things. But as I looked around the crowd, I could see that it was affecting different people in different ways. I could see some who were obviously just there because there was a big crowd and they wanted to see if anything would happen. I could see some who were being made angry by what Jesus was saying and disagreeing. There were some who were just ignoring it, and some who were really taking in what Jesus was saying and hanging on every word. It made me think.
Gospel writers are silent on just how good-looking Peter was. So there's Peter from first century, and he is by the Lake of Galilee. What turns up? What is he talking about? What is nearby? Does anyone catch? Catherine? A large crowd, thank you. So we've got a large crowd. Jesus is getting crowded at the side of the Lake Galilee. And he asks Simon, can I step into your boat? Can I move out? And he's healed Simon's mother-in-law. So Simon says, okay, yes, let's get into the boat and move away from this crowd. Why was there a crowd around Jesus? Well, I'm sure that people were there for a number of different reasons. People are interested when there's a big crowd and they just want to get involved. People are interested in religious or spiritual things in different ways. Maybe something has happened, a big event, and they want to think, oh yes, there must be something more about life that I want to give thanks to someone for. Or maybe they've got themselves into trouble and are really worried, and they start to think, oh, I really want to be praying to something beyond me. I wonder what you're here for today. What are your motives for being here, gathering as church? Sometimes our motives, because we think we know it all already and we know what we're doing, they can actually get in the way of hearing from God. What do you expect from Jesus today as we gather? In Hebrews it says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's saying that nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything and everyone is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of God, and we need to give an account to him. And he's saying the word of God is like a sword. So there's a picture of a sword. It's as if it cuts it. It's going to do work deep in our lives. Now imagine with that crowd, you let go of a sword flying around. So give it another click. And it starts whizzing around in all the crowd. That would be dangerous, wouldn't it? There'd be wounds and all sorts of mayhem. Well, that, spiritually, can be going on every time the word of God is spoken. Are we ready to hear God this afternoon and onwards in our lives? Are we ready to be challenged, to change? Are we ready to be reassured and given comfort? Are we distracted, or are we ready to hear? Let's pray that God will help us hear him and what he has for us this afternoon. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a good God, and you give us these true stories about Jesus to help us to understand more about you and more about ourselves. We pray that may be true this afternoon, and we pray that you do your work in our lives through your word. Amen. So God's word, living and active, like a sword doing its work. So if we recap, we're there beside the Lake of Galilee. There is a large crowd. And then the next thing that happens is there are some strange instructions. Strange instructions. So I thought, to help us to get into this idea, we've found some strange instructions. There's the first one. I don't know if you can quite read it from where you are. Very difficult instructions on a piece of clothing. Wash this when dirty. Wash this when dirty. Okay, could you just about follow that instruction? That'd be fairly obvious, wasn't it? How about this instruction? So chopsticks. I don't know if you've ever tried to eat Chinese food with chopsticks. They came with these instructions. Instructions, good luck. That's all the instructions that come with those chopsticks. And the last ones, this is a medicine. You need to take these instructions very seriously. It says, every night before food, once daily, to be taken four times a day, three times a day, every three times daily, take one, take two, take three, one or two. Warning, follow the printed instructions you've been given with this medicine. That won't help you feel relaxed about taking that, will you? Very strange instructions. Well, in our true Bible story for today, Peter gets given an instruction. He may well have thought, that is very strange. We've got another video from first century Palestine. Let's see what happened next.
So, Jesus is in my boat and teaching the crowd all about God. When Jesus finishes speaking, he turns to me and he says, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Well, I can't believe it. Can you believe it? I mean, don't get me wrong. I had been amazed by some of the stuff Jesus had been teaching. I could see he was something really special where knowing about God was concerned. However, what did he know about fishing? Years and years in the trade I have, and here is some carpenter trying to give me tips about fishing. But there was something about Jesus. And do you know what? Instead of putting him in his place, I said, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when we did, do you know what happened? The fish began to bite. We got another, and then another, and another, and soon there were so many fish that the nets were beginning to break. We had to get the crew from the other boats, our partner boat along, to help us. And we filled both boats so full with fish, they both began to sink. I've never seen anything like it in all my long years of fishing, man and boy. I've never seen a miracle such as this. No fish all night, and then both boats full to busting. Oh, I fell at Jesus' knees. I said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Because surely he was God on earth. I did not deserve him to be with me in my boat. But then Jesus said something to me that has changed my life all around. He said, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So me, James and John, we pulled our boats up on shore, left everything, and our families, our businesses, everything we'd ever known, and we followed Jesus.
So, there's a large crowd and a strange command. What was the strange command? What was the strange instruction that happened there in that story? Let me come a bit further past the front row. Strange command, did you spot what was the strange instruction? It's a dopey afternoon this afternoon. Yes. Yes, it was how to fish. Jesus, a carpenter, is telling a fisherman how to fish. On the one hand, it's crazy to be told to fish by a carpenter when you're a fisherman. But Jesus knew more than Peter. Jesus is the Son of God. He even knows us better than we do ourselves. And it's important to listen to what he had to say. So after that strange command and Peter doing it, there was an amazing result. Loads of fish, nets breaking, two boats sinking.
Oh, got you. Oh.
What are you doing, Paul?
Dave, I think there might be some fish in here, you know.
In here?
I just caught this one swimming past my leg. Hang on, I've got an idea. Why don't we put this net down? So I'll throw the nets down here. Maybe we'll get an amazing result. Maybe we'll get an amazing catch of fish
in
this building, yeah. Yeah, I think we might need some help, though. I wonder if the children could maybe help. Oh, the young man over there's got one. Perhaps we could get up for a few minutes, have a look round, and bring the fish to the net.
Can you find some fish?
Yeah, just pop it in the net. There we are,
right,
well done.
There
might be lots more.
Against the wall? Oh, you missed it.
You might need to have a good look around, get out the chairs, have a look around. It could be anywhere. That's it, put it in the net. Oh, wow.
Oh, my. That was worth it, was it?
Okay, well done.
It's not quite as subtle as my helper this morning. It's supposed to be slightly more subtle.
That's a lot of fish in there, but I think there's a few more out there, you know. Very much. Okay, right, I'm just going to try and bring the nets up. Oh, Dave, this is incredible, look.
That's an amazing result.
That's an amazing result. Look at that catch. I'll take this over here.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for all your help. That's an amazing result. That, going back to our true story, Jesus worked a miracle. There were abundant fish. And he can bring success where we fail. Peter had been fishing all night, but Jesus did a miracle, and there was an abundance of fish. And when we feel we've come to an end of ourselves, we're not able to understand the situation or not able to cope, Jesus is there for you if you're willing to accept him in your life. So Jesus is Son of God and even knows us better than we do ourselves. It's important to listen to what he has to say. And Jesus can work miracles. He can bring success where we fail. When we feel we've come to the end of ourselves, not understanding, he can be there for us. Our final thoughts for this afternoon is when we find the truth about Jesus, when we start to realize he is the Son of God, then we find truth about ourselves. I don't know if you remember what Peter said when he suddenly realized who Jesus was. He said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Lord, I am a sinful man. Go away from me." He realized how special Jesus was. And he realized what he was like. Sin is that thing that we talk about. It's saying things, doing things, thinking things that spoil our lives. They're things that we want to keep hidden from other people. They're things that we hope no one else will ever find out. And they're things that spoil our relationship with God. when brought face to face with our Lord Jesus, the Holy Son of God, we're brought face to face with the truth about ourselves, that we fall short, we rebel, we do things our own way. But that's why Jesus came into the world, to offer forgiveness, to take away all that dirty stuff, that sin, the things that spoil our lives, and get between us and God. And Jesus is willing to stay with us and work in us. Are we willing to accept him and follow him?